Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune into the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, April 8th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Traditionally, business school graduates with dreams of leading a company might climb the corporate ladder or even start their own business from scratch. But many MBAs are aiming higher, pitching themselves as an investment for an existing company that they can then take charge of.
Before graduation, before their search for a company formally begins, they basically pass the hat to a team of investors. And that money would finance up to a 2-year full-time search for a company to buy and then lead.
On today's show, we'll talk with our business education reporter, Lindsay Ellis, about so-called search funds. We'll also hear from one MBA who went through the process herself and is now the CEO of a health logistics company. We'll break down this alternative path to a post-MBA career after the break.
Rapid expansion?
We're ready.
Worker shortage?
We're good.
Anything can change the world of work.
A celebrity buys the company.
Depends on who it is. But relax, we've got ADP.
From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
It's fairly common for recent business school graduates to pitch investors their latest startup idea, but more MBAs are skipping the startup part and pitching themselves as the investment to privately held companies where they'd run the business and be part owner. It's a small but growing trend among MBAs called search funds. In a moment, we'll get a firsthand account of the process from a recent MBA. But first, to discuss the basics, we turn to Lindsay Ellis. She covers workplace and business education for the Wall Street Journal. Lindsay, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Lindsay, help us understand how this whole search fund process works. It almost sounds like what we know as a SPAC.
It is somewhat similar. So a SPAC, a special purpose acquisition company, would be something that raises money and lists its shares to go public and finds a private business to merge with. In this case, you know, it's not a business that's being taken public. It is a MBA student who's looking to acquire their own company. And so before graduation, before their search for a company formally begins, they basically pass the hat to a team of investors. One student could raise, you know, about $500,000. A pair could be about $800,000. And that money would finance up to a 2-year full-time search for a company to buy and then lead. So it would cover travel to meet with existing business owners, due diligence, a legal review, and then after the company is identified, the MBA student or the searcher would then acquire it and lead it as CEO.
Okay, so MBAs pitching themselves to run companies, it's a growing trend, but how common is it?
It is still very much a niche concept. The numbers are certainly growing. I think there have been at least 70 identified in 2020 and more in 2021. As one investor told me, that's a lot more than it was previously, but it's still, you know, enough people who could reasonably attend a wedding. So it's not, you know, an astronomically popular area, but it is one that has been growing in popularity in business schools.
Now, as you mentioned, and as you'd guess from the name, there's a search involved in finding these companies. So I imagine they might be a bit under the radar. Can you tell us what kinds of companies we're talking about?
It's a great question. So some of the companies that have recently been acquired are niche. They can operate in insurance sales, security, software as a service, or even, you know, spaces like pest abatement and construction. It's companies that are privately held, and often the businesses that are most attractive are those that are in growing markets and have strong recurring revenues. Investors say that's because they know these CEOs are pretty inexperienced, and so if they make a mistake, they're not going to mess things up too badly.
All right, well, let's hear from someone who's gone through the whole search fund process. 32-year-old Jessica Patterson got her MBA from the University of California at Berkeley and recently set out to search for a company. She and her search partner, also a Berkeley grad, raised $800,000 and eventually found a health logistics company in Texas where she's now CEO. And she joins me now to talk about that process. Hey, Jessica, thanks so much for joining us.
Of course.
So, Jessica, why did you decide to go down this route of raising money to find a company to run?
Sure. Well, it goes back to where did I want to be in 10 years or 5 years even? Both my business partner and I were interested in an entrepreneurship path, but neither of us wanted to go down the startup route. That wasn't our skill set. We're not product market fit experts. Where we both thrive is in growing businesses and finding efficiencies. I'm on the efficiency side. My business partner is a sales guru. It's the growth side. So when you look at your entrepreneurship paths, you typically see startup or nothing. This was an alternative path that fit right into our skill sets and also allowed us to have a group of advisors and mentors along the way, which is very, very hard to find.
What kind of company were you searching for and how did you go about that search?
There's a couple ways that you can do this. Some are very industry specific. Some are industry agnostic. We actually took the industry agnostic approach because we have a very varied background. And there are three filters. Filter number one was, does it make sense from a financial? Did you run the numbers? And do the numbers make sense in terms of recurring revenue and all the benchmarks that go into what is a typical search fund company? But number two is, does it fit with our skill set? I have a logistics background. Joe has a sales background. And so we were looking for a company that fit into the criteria. And then number three was, does this fit with actually what we want to do from a values perspective? I think that part gets lost a little bit. We both wanted to be in something that was value add to the community. And so we ended up in Fusion Pharmacy, healthcare-based, serving people, serving patients. That fit with the value proposition for us.
So what does the company do?
We provide infusion medications to patients as they're discharged from the hospital so that they can receive their antibiotics or their cardiac medications in the home. So we provide IV infusion to patients in the home.
What was the company's reaction when you initially made contact?
Ours came about a little bit unusual. This particular owner wasn't actually looking to sell his business. He was looking for investors. He wanted to recapitalize. He had reached a point of growth where he could not grow it any further and it was stagnant. And so he wanted to say, okay, I want to bring in investors. So he wasn't actually looking to sell. We were talking to a third party intermediary who happened to have this individual on the list. And we said, let's actually have a conversation. And we came in and told him what the search fund world is and what we can do because we really fit into what he was looking for. He didn't want to sell to a large private equity group. He didn't want to sell to a strategic. He wanted to find partners and people who would come and help him operate, which is exactly what we do.
So what was the arrangement for your involvement in the company?
As part of this, there is a shift in material ownership. So this particular owner kept a percentage of the business, but we came in and we are taking on the leadership roles. So both myself and my business partner are in executive roles alongside the owner.
What kind of experience did you have in the health logistics field or broadly the health field when you approached the company?
Yeah, I have limited, it's actually both my business partner and I have limited healthcare experience. And that's where it goes to we are industry agnostic, but could we find a company that actually had our skill set? So I have finance and logistics and HR experience where this is a logistics company. What we have to learn is the industry, not necessarily the operations. And then my business partner has sold extensively in the healthcare space and worked in operations in the healthcare space, not specifically in pharmacy though.
Was there any pushback as a result of having limited experience in this particular field?
No, we haven't had it. It's actually given us an opportunity to say, hey, we don't know anything, teach us. And that's set the relationships up. And as we've come in and learned from the leaders who are at this company, it allows us to be students versus, you know, coming in as threats, for lack of a better term. We are truly students of what this business has done. And we're here to help grow it and, you know, take it to the next level.
It seems like this can be an intimidating process for somebody getting their MBA or somebody with no experience with company acquisition as part of their career. Well, what's your advice to somebody who might be getting a master's degree and might be interested in doing this sort of thing?
Well, first off, that was me. I do not come from a background of private equity. I do not have an M&A background. I had limited mergers and acquisitions experience through my corporate function when I was in at a larger corporation. So the short answer is it's okay. This is part of the reason going into a traditional search model is because you have those mentors and investors who have done this so many times that they're able to catch the patterns that you can't catch. So it's doable. It's a heavy learning curve. And when you get to the other side of it, so far it's been worth it. We're in an operating phase, which is a little bit more of a comfort zone. Obviously, I'm on a wild ride, and I think everyone is who does this. But it's not something, if you don't have the experience, it's not a reason not to do it. It's a reason to do it and to look at it as a huge learning opportunity.
All right. That's Jessica Patterson joining us on the show today. Jessica, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
So, Lindsay, Jessica's part of a latest crop of MBAs to pitch themselves to businesses. And the search funds at business schools to do this have been around for decades. But why has this process taken off in recent years?
One is just that, you know, to begin with, the ecosystem is growing. Because there have been sort of a small but steady number of searchers over the years, there are more mentors, for example, and people who can drop by clubs or classes and tell business school students about the model and share their own experiences. Another big reason is that investors have a lot of capital right now, and they're looking for places to put it. This is sort of a space where students can raise money and, you know, hopefully be successful in their acquisitions. The other thing to note is that there have been more structures on campuses that can support searchers and business students. There are clubs, there are conferences outside of the traditional search hubs of a Harvard or a Stanford. There are programs on campuses that are helping students who are interested in this network, understand the space, you know, answer questions. And that has been sort of a supportive launch for students who are interested.
So Jessica found success through this process, but how have MBAs fared overall? How have these programs panned out?
This can be a really challenging path. Of the searches that have begun, about a third have ended without an acquisition. And if that's the case, if you're a student who says, I'm going to pursue this, I'm not going to go recruit on campus with the big name companies that are knocking on the door for students, you might miss out on a really lucrative and more stable career path, which is, you know, why many students go to business school. You know, two-thirds of those searches have typically worked out in the past, and more statistics for these recent years are in development through Stanford, which tracks this closely. But it is a gamble to decide to go down this route.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Lindsay Ellis with us. Lindsay, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.